Some of us will say, oh, he's coming again now. What has that to do with me? He's coming again now. Then, what do I do for that? That's what we are here. We need to grasp this fact that he's coming again. And when we grasp that, we will live our lives intentionally for Christ. It will show in our lives by the decisions that we make in the worship that we give to God. Let us take a few lessons from the book of Malachi. Malachi was written, so this part you can see it had been some time after the rebuilding of the temple. Nothing seemed to be happening, so Israel had not returned to its former glory as the prophets had promised. And as time went by, these post-exilic Jews began to lose hope. And they're like, okay, not going to happen anyway. And therefore, slowly, they no longer trusted God's justice, and they started doubting his covenant love. Their worship degenerated into a listless perpetuation of mere form, offering even blind and lame animals as sacrifice. They no longer took the law seriously. Tithes were ignored. Sabbath was broken. Even the priests were corrupt. Social injustice was rampant. Divorce, intermarriage with pagans was common. The widows, orphans, sojourners, the hired workers were oppressed. Such is the situation, the condition of people's hearts during Malachi's time. Sounds really bad. But from this list of sins, I only want to focus on two areas that God will want to purify us in. You see, God doesn't want us to have pure impurity stuck to us. He wants us to be fit for his worship. So just 2 points. First, God wants us to trust in his covenant love. Some of us may say, well, I don't doubt his love. I definitely still trust his justice. But sometimes I wonder if he really hears my prayers. Sometimes I wonder if he is the only way. You know, I have worked hard. I've been a good Christian. But my life doesn't seem to be very good. And yet, there are some others who say, I have worked hard for myself. All my success is mine. God is here, but it is me. Some of the ways that we may think. Let me just share with you three T's to remind ourselves how... Let me share with you three T's how we can remind ourselves of God's love. The first T, give thanks. In every occasion, in every situation, give thanks. Think back and give thanks. Look at how God has preserved Israel through the years, through wars and captivity. Look at how God has preserved churches, especially those in war-torn countries, and all those that have been persecuted. Look at the weather last Saturday and Friday and Saturday. This is God's mercy to us. Let us give thanks. Let us always be thankful for the things that he's doing in our lives and around us. Have a heart of gratitude. Second T, listen or read testimonies. Most faithful Christians, or may I say all Christians, all faithful Christians, do not have an uneventful Christian life. There will be peaks, difficulties, brokenness, tests of faith. Find out about their stories. Browse the internet website. Salt and light if you want for a local flavor. Pick up some books in the market. For me, when I was younger, one book that really hit me is the book by Joni Erickson. Okay, revealing my age. Joni is 20 years older than me, so okay. But she's still going strong. She took a dive into the shallow waters without knowing, broke her neck, and became a quadriplegic immediately, instantly. There was depression, there was time when she wanted to give up. But when God restored her, as she was, now she's able to have an organization that helps people like her, and more than that. And I still follow her channel. I watch her YouTube channel pretty often. She's still alive. She has bouts of cancer. She cannot be treated because she's already very weak. Yet God has sustained her. If I'm 50-something, she's 70-something. Yeah, and God is still faithful to her. I read her book, and I'm very encouraged. Another book that I read is by YWAM founder, Lauren Cunningham. He says, the book says, Is That You, Lord? That talks about God's calling on his life and how God just supplied for him time and again. Easy to read book, very thin, very inspiring. Now, reading these testimonies helps me in my Christian walk. Whenever I feel down, drained, drowned, recalling these testimonies, recalling, not rereading, just recalling these testimonies helps me to anchor my faith in God's again. It just reminds me of God's love and God's faithfulness. Third T, let's talk about God's goodness. In your care groups, in Christian conversations, even with your non-Christian friends, don't be shy. Just talk about the things that God has done for you, the big things, the small things. The more you talk about it, without exaggeration, the more it builds your faith. The more you begin to recognize that you are not alone and that God is in the things that you are going through. Remember, in God, there is no coincidences. In God, it's only God incidences. God allows things to happen. He is in control. I just attended my ex-student's husband's wake. She's a non-believer. And she told me this, of how one of the Christian classmates had been sending her Bible verses. She says, "Miss Wong, it's very strange. I'm not a Christian. But when I read some of these verses, they bring me comfort. They bring me peace." And I realized that in our speaking of God, God himself, the Holy Spirit, brings the peace that people need. It's not so much us all the time. Another one that I remember is when I brought my daughter, when she was primary six, she attended a camp organized by St. Andrew's Cathedral. One of the segments is pretty interesting. It's dinner time. The parents will take the child out for dinner. And at the dinner, after the dinner, parents will share with them their Christian walk. If you have been a Christian when you were, you just talk about what you were when you were younger, how your Christian life was for you, so that the child can identify. I must say my husband put in a lot of effort to do that. He dug up photographs and showed my daughter the friends that he grew up with, many of whom are you all. My daughter laughed and laughed. She says, "Huh? This one is Uncle Man." Okay, I shall not tell you who they were, but she laughed and she was so pricked, you know, and she was like, "But these are real people, not just names. People whom her father grew up with, people whose children she's playing with. These are real people with real faith." And I hope it continues to inspire her. Take time, not too late. Take time. Talk to your children about your own walk, how God has been faithful to you. And your children will see, yes, God is not a fairy far away. God is real, real in the small things, real in the big. Many testimonies to share, I shall not, in case we don't go home, okay? The next point I want to focus on is this point, that God wants us to worship him wholeheartedly. The priest during Malachi's time accepted the animals that were blind, lame, defiled, and they offered them as sacrifices. These people were offering animals. They were not offering sacrifices. You see the difference. Any animal will do. It's okay. Is that what God says? Therefore, it was just half-hearted worship. Surface looks good, can already. Never mind the call. Like my watch, 10:15. I was stuck at 10:15 just now. Until I saw Evangeline went to wear her cassock. Then I was like, why is she rushing to wear the cassock? Boy, it's 10:45. Having a watch that doesn't tell time is useless. Having a Christian that doesn't point to Jesus is pointless. When God calls us to serve him in church, at home, or at work, what is our response? Just do somewhat lah. It's all right. Can already. Is that what we want to bring to God? The past 2 weekends when we planted plastic trees, set up stalls, I think that was a huge testimony of unity. Would you like to read scriptures at services, arrange flowers for the altar? Be a friendly usher at the door, a befriender at the refreshments table, or take up the challenge to be stressed out over at the sound console and the projectionist console. Would you like to help in Shepherd's Kids, be part of your CG core group, or sit on a committee? Or would you come into full-time ministry? Why not? Would you follow up with a friend whose pet just died? Would you cover duties for a colleague who has urgent matters to attend to? And would you do it cheerfully? What is your reaction when called upon to do something? Is it always a, wah, you sabo me ah? Or is it a, God considers me worthy to be his servant? I remember when I was in primary school, this teacher stopped me along the corridor. It doesn't happen anymore. It happened then. Would you like, okay, Kafun, go and buy me this butterfly. Go to the shop and buy the butterfly. You know the butterfly? Okay. So I took the money, ran down to the canteen, buy the butterfly, and ran back to the teacher. And I was so proud. Till now, I can still remember which corridor she stopped me along, and the 50 cents that she gave to me, and how I ran down and was so all important. I felt so important. Mrs. Swan wanted the butterfly. Oh. When God calls us to serve him, do we respond with such eagerness and pride? Or do we go back to why me? You see, when God reprimanded them for their worship, it wasn't because God was looking for animals, animal offerings, or perfect animal offerings. Look, the sheep on the thousand hills are all God's. Does he have to go and look for animals like that? No. God was not looking for animal sacrifices, and he was not angry with imperfect ones per se. However, he was fed up with receiving leftovers and the rejects. And God asked, is that what I deserve? Would you present these lame and maimed animals to your governor and then accept them to show you favor? Of course not. Then what makes us think that when we give God half-hearted worship, God will say, yay, very good. Come on. God is not looking for fat sacrifices. God is looking for fat Christians. He is looking for faithful, available, teachable Christians. When caught, people who persevere when caught, people who dare to put their hands up and say, here I am. People who, when corrected, don't harbor anger or hurt or go into, I don't want to serve next time. People who are willing to be taught. People who offer themselves and people who just persevere when God calls so. God is looking for fat Christians. People who would offer him pure and fitting sacrifices. The fire and the soap are meant to remove impurities in our worship to him. He wants us to remove doubts and half-hearted worship. He wants to remove doubts and half-hearted worship from us. God would not be contented with worshippers that are unsure of his love. God would not be contented with people who think that, oh, he doesn't bother about our offerings. He wants us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, that we may bring right offerings to him. God may be invisible most of the time to many of us, but God is not absent. The fact that God is invisible doesn't mean that he's not present. He is still here. He watches, he sees, he receives, he takes, he talks, he speaks, he is with us. And it concerns him, the things that we offer him. It concerns him, the way we think about him. It concerns him. Does it concern you as much? He wants us to know that though he may be invisible, he is still there. So accept his ever-present love. Trust in him in spite of circumstances. Give of our best without grumbling. God alone deserves our worship. Behold, Jesus is coming again. Let's get ready. Let us pray.